Oh, good evening, and welcome to the fifth and final meeting of today's International Corona Service Conference of AA. My name is Penny Pennington. I'm an alcoholic and your MC for today. I've been sober since October 9th, 1977, and I'm grateful to have the opportunity to be of service. We are glad you are all here. We are holding hour-long meetings every other hour today to explore how AA's traditions and concepts and other topics can allow us as individuals, groups, and service entities to navigate the now with the increase in AA online. We'll open this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer, if you would all join me. God, grant me the strength to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. A few tech notes before we begin. Please be sure your video is off during the meeting or you will be moved into the waiting room. It's distracting and it's part of how we're keeping the meeting safe today. Also, audio will be silenced and the chat room will be locked. You will not be able to text in the chat room during the meeting. If you would like to ask a question of the speaker, you will be able to do that after they are both done sharing, and you will be able to submit questions. If there is a disruption to the conference, please be patient. We may need to put everyone on hold for a few minutes until the issue can be resolved. Only recoverytapers.com has permission to record any part of this conference. The AA Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help other alcoholics to achieve, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting for our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. AA's seventh tradition states that we are fully self-supporting through our own contributions. This conference has been organized by AA members and is not affiliated with any outside organization or institution. We ask that only AA members contribute. This money goes to pay for our expenses, including the cost of using Zoom for this meeting. Any excess will be sent to the AA General Service Office in New York. To contribute via Venmo, please use the ID on screen at navigating-now or the QR code on your screen. It is not necessary to friend us on Venmo to send a contribution. If requested, the four-digit code is 3670. If you would prefer to contribute via PayPal, please send your payment to the email conference 0404-2020@gmail.com. At this time, I want to introduce Jimmy D from Dallas, Texas, who will be sharing on sponsorship. It's yours, Jimmy. Thank you.
Ready to go? Hey, everybody. Jimmy Dean, alcoholic. I'm sober since August the 25th of 1997, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm really honored and grateful to be able to participate in this deal today. I want to thank Billy, who reached out to me a couple of weeks ago and asked if I was available. And you know, it's interesting. I guess in a physical sense, my world has gotten very small. I've been at the same software company now 36 years. I've never worked anywhere else. So that was 13 years in alcohol, active alcoholism. And I did not realize how technologically inept I was until we were all sheltered in place. But I can think of no greater topic to talk about, certainly that touches each one of our three legacies than the principle of sponsorship. I have certainly been a beneficiary active and involved sponsorship since I've been sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I didn't know that you didn't need to get a sponsor. So I've always had one. Nobody said, you know, you could wait a while or try to find somebody in the group or somebody that you met that you thought had what you wanted. I came about my relationship with my first sponsor because he was willing to be of service to clients in a treatment facility. Now, I had not gone to treatment to get sober. I was on probation for my second DWI. And I went to outpatient treatment to stay out of state jail for revocation of probation. So I was not a prime candidate for membership in AA at the time that Greg and I first met. But you know, he arranged a meeting on a Thursday before a home group meeting, group that was going to become my first home group in Alcoholics Anonymous. And he sat across the picnic table from me for about an hour and a half, and he imparted his experience. At the time, I guess maybe 5 years, he'd been sober a little over 5 years in AA, and I remember that his eyes sparkled when he talked about AA, and he talked about commitment, and he talked about involvement, and he talked about opportunities to do things for others, and it was a life that I was not familiar with and had not been familiar with for a long time. I mean, I was given tools for living. I was told right from wrong, as many of us are. But I needed to leave all of those things, you know, by the wayside in order to continue to live the way that I thought I wanted to live at 15, 16, 17 when I first started drinking. By the time I was 32 years old, you know, I was worn out. I was burned up and worn out. And so Greg, a big tall guy, looks like Larry Bird. He was great for a newcomer like me. Was petrified, just afraid of everything. And you know, he made everything sound so exciting. It was just a palpable excitement. And you know, when I finally surrendered to the disease of alcoholism and actually came all the way into AA and what would we say, sat all the way down, I got busy. He helped me get busy. One of the things I know today we're talking about, you know, the situation that we find ourselves in the world and, you know, the 9, 10, 11 guys that are actively sponsored by me today, they are, realizing, to the depth of their being, exactly what it means to have a spiritual way of life, or to try to apply the spiritual principles in all areas of their life. And sometimes it's a forced situation. It's a forced condition, because you know, the man who has not yet effected a reconciliation, in his home and maybe knowingly or unknowingly, He's used distractions in order to avoid, let's just say, a lack of communication. You know, that option's been removed. And so now he's a man who really needs, you know, he needs guidance. He needs good counsel. Sometimes he just needs a sounding board. And when I say a sounding board, I learned from my sponsor, and I try to the best of my ability with the men that I sponsor. I say, you know, don't say that to her. You call me and you say that to me. Now, I'm not there just, you know, to be the brunt of all of that, but I certainly can process it without any emotional involvement. And that's something that his wife or his girlfriend or his significant other can't do. I don't give gifts in AA, the men that I sponsor, except on their first AA birthday or the first year that they celebrate with me as their sponsor. I give language of the heart. I absolutely believe in those articles that Bill wrote as his way of communicating with the fellowship through the pages of the Grapevine magazine. And they are amazing snippets of AA's collective experience based on the involvement of the co-founder and what those principles look like in practical application. And so when I celebrated 20 years of sobriety, the men that I sponsor gave me a language of the heart and had a guy pull a leather cover. And so I don't intend to read to anybody today, but I want to share something with you that I think has practical application in all 36 of our principles. It certainly touches on 36 of our principles in Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's the article that Bill wrote for the Grapevine that backs up the essay on the ninth concept. Every sponsor is necessarily a leader. The stakes are about as big as they could be. A human life and usually the happiness of a whole family hang in the balance. What the sponsor does and says, how well he estimates the reactions of his prospects, how well he times and makes his presentation, how well he handles criticism, and how well he leads by his prospect on by personal spiritual example. These qualities of leadership can make all the difference, often the difference between life and death. And I find that to be true in my own experience. And I don't think that any of Bill's words are limited by the situation that that we find ourselves in today. If anything, you know, we dial it up a notch rather than down a notch. It's interesting that one of the things that was mentioned before this meeting started was that original foreword to the fourth edition of the book. And I remember when that came out. And there were a significant number of solid members of Alcoholics Anonymous that were offended by the statement modem to modem, face to face. And most of those people have gone to the big meeting. And I wonder if they're looking down, or perhaps some might say looking up at what we're going through today as a fellowship and a society, how they would be amazed by what we've been able to do in such a short period of time. And I think the thread of sponsorship runs through all of that. You know, the top of my food chain told my sponsor of 20 years a long time ago that we needed to be available, accountable, responsible, and respectable. And not just give that lip service, but actually demonstrate that in our interactions with our fellow members of AA and certainly with those people that love us unconditionally. I brought one of those with me when it came to AA. It was my grandmother for me. My parents had died when I was young, and my grandmother had raised me. And I had no idea how to even begin to repair that relationship. And certainly, we began to read the book together, began to work the steps. But he showed me and he encouraged me to take some actions that I did not trust would have any difference at all. Calls at first on Sunday, and make a quick call to her on Sunday. And when I say it was quick, it was terse. It was a hard call to make. And you know, she couldn't wait to get off the telephone. I mean, you could feel it on the phone. And I'd hang up the phone. I'd call Greg on Sunday afternoon, and I'd just be about as down as I could be. And he'd say, you know, meet me for hamburger, or let's go over here. So-and-so's talking, this, that, and the other. And you know, he'd spend 10 or 15 or 20 minutes with me, and he'd talk to me about consistency. And he'd tell me about how important it was. I couldn't see it at the time, but he could see further than I could see. And I just needed to continue to take the action. I just needed to continue to take the action. And I did because I trusted him. You know, our big book talks certainly mentions all over the place what I consider to be effective sponsorship in Alcoholics Anonymous without actually using that word. And you know, his whole deportment shouts that he's got an answer. And we can win over the confidence of another alcoholic, you know, in just a short period of time. I'm paraphrasing, but you guys are all certainly familiar with the text. And that's what Greg and Baxter then have past 20 years, what they've done for me. And so I continued to make those telephone calls. And by the time I'd been sober about 6 or 7 months, things had gotten, they'd gotten good enough in that relationship that she invited me over, and I had a may not sound like a big deal to you, it's a huge deal for me. I spent 25 minutes in a house that I wasn't welcome in before I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't have a cell phone then. I mean, it was beginning of 98. I couldn't wait to get home and make that telephone call and give Greg the report. Not because I expected him to give me a pat on the back, but just to let him know that I was just amazed at the fact that what he had asked me to do had actually begun to work. And he said, "Oh God, don't give up now. Don't give up now. There's so many other things that we need to do." And so, you know, I'd read those parts of the book. And, you know, there's a facing page in the directions on the ninth step, and it says, "We feel a man is unthinking when he says sobriety is enough." And then it says, "There is a long period of reconstruction ahead." It afforded me the opportunity to take that long period of reconstruction ahead after I'd made that ninth step amends. I had 14 years of continuous sobriety before that grandmother left this earth at 95, and we were current. She trusted me. I took care of her finances. I took care of making sure that she was comfortable. Her mind was sharp as a tack, and her body just started to kind of wear out. 95 is a long time to live. And you know, Baxter would carry me through a lot of that stuff. And he would point out areas where he thought I was being selfish. And that's just a principal component of sponsorship. One of the most effective things about it is that sponsor is not emotionally vested. And so I've tried to the best of my ability to take what I've learned from those two men that sponsored me and apply that in my relationship with the men that I sponsor. And especially today, you know, we've ramped up on our call-ins. We have committed call-in times. Every man I sponsor has a time. And so when this shut-in or shelter-in-place deal began to be rolled out, we bumped that up to twice a week. And I made sure that we went back to that old direction when they were all new, which is they called two men, members of Alcoholics Anonymous, every day. And I got a text from a guy that I've sponsored sober 4 years. I've sponsored him a couple of years. So he's not long in the tooth in AA, but I got a text. It was part of a chain. And he sent it to all of his sponsor brothers and his sponsor. He started a meeting, an online meeting on Thursday night. First meeting will be next Thursday, just for us, just to take our temperature and talk about who we are and where we are and what we're doing, or perhaps maybe what we're not doing we could do better. Let's just call it a check-in meeting. And you know, that was of that man's own initiative. And a couple of years ago when I first met him, no offense to the meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, but you know, his connection to AA and to those people that love him unconditionally, that connection was tenuous at best. I'm not questioning the level of his sobriety, but you know, I don't know how much skin he had in our game, and I'm not saying that I affected these types of changes. I am certainly positively convinced that the change was affected because we got in the book, and he actually was afforded the opportunity to have a spiritual experience as a result of the steps. And so at this particular juncture, whether it be virtual in lieu of physical, I think if anything, the practical application of the principles, certainly living and working in my life, you know, I've had to redouble. I've had to make sure that I'm not that solitary, isolated individual that I was before I came to AA. I'm an introvert by nature. You know, my sponsor helped me with that when I was new. He made a talk in a little group over in Mesquite. I'd been sober 8 or 9 months. And I rode shotgun over there, and, you know, moping about the sad state of my life. And we got in there, and he made the talk. He started 15 or 20 minutes before the meeting started, you know, so he could glad hand to go around and say hello to everybody in the room, especially people that he didn't know. He was showing his pigeon that that's how you attend a meeting of AA. And so then he stood up and he made his pitch. We got done. I immediately ran outside and probably fired up a cigarette in each one of my hands. And again, you know, it didn't take long for all of that to wear off and me to start feeling sorry for myself. 15 or 20 minutes later, he came out of that group and we got in the car to go home. And he looked over at me. I guess I'd been sober maybe about, what I'd say, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months. And then he said, looked over and he said, "Jimmy, I realize that what I saw in that group is fear." And he said, "If you'll work the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, that fear will be removed." But the members of that group tonight didn't see fear. They saw arrogance. and arrogance is unacceptable in AA, and we're going to have to do something about that right now. And, you know, he gave me pavement time. I just call it pavement time. And so he hooked me, for lack of a better term, he hooked me. And so over time, with consistency and commitment and an active involvement in the lives of these men that call me sponsor, and that doesn't have any dependency necessarily on us physically seeing one another. Only two or three of those guys do I ever see on a regular basis in an actual AA meeting. I realize that I have probably not employed all of these technological advances to my full advantage as a sponsor in AA. And so I'm learning. I'm learning, and I think learning means growth. You know, I have... I would not have known how plugged in I was until we have been visited by this pandemic, this surreal situation that the world finds itself in. But I don't feel distant, and I don't feel alone. You know, I mean, I'm one person in relatively small square footage, you know, walking to work for the first time ever, right? I walk from one room to another room and go to work. But, you know, I have active and almost constant connection with my fellows, and especially with those guys that I sponsor and with my sponsor. And I found that, you know, he seems to need to hear from me almost as much as I need to reach out to him. And that's a good feeling. You know, it's a team effort, and it's a team spirit. So I am thankful, and I am grateful to be a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I appreciate the opportunity to share. I've done this a couple of times only, done a couple of podcasts. We've got a great guy here who does a podcast. And then there was a group in West Palm, made a talk for them 2 or 3 years ago. But this is really my first time to do this when we would normally be meeting in person. So I thank you for that. And I will yield my time to my good friend, Kent. Thank you.